Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday, and I hope that your midday week is going well. I am elated and honored, as always, to be here with you on the Stars of Heaven Networks 22, and I'm excited about this portion of the offering entitled Veils and Victories. And as I was looking at the date today, I see it is 3:16, and John 3:16 immediately popped in my spirit, and I'm like, okay, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall call upon him shall have everlasting life, and that's today, 2022, today. So being a numbers person, I love numbers, I just saw the revelation and interpretation in today's date. And, of course, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day is a day to bless the Lord for being alive, his presence, his mercy, and his grace. And I certainly hope that you're experiencing that today. And I am excited to share this exhortation in celebration of Veils and Victories. And I'm really being blessed by the offering thus far, and I hope that you are as well. So I'm not going to prolong the time. I'm going to go right into the fresh manna the Lord has given me for this portion of the offering, and a few things that I want to share that he was speaking prophetically along with the message. I wanted to share that with you as well, and I'm going to do that before I get into the exhortation. And one of the things that he was saying is that this is the time to check our inventory. It's really time for spring cleaning. And this message is really one that he gave me that's in confirmation of that. This is the third quarter of 2022, but it's the first of all new things. So it's the first and third and first. and it's important to understand the times and seasons that we're in and the times and seasons of God's agricultural calendar and what he's saying so that we can stay rooted and planted and we can grow and bear good fruit. And that's all what God is about, us bearing good fruit, having good ground, good soil, good seed, doing what to plant that seed so it can grow and bring forth good fruit, which speaks of God's essence and his attributes. So I wanted to share that. And this is a time of spring cleaning. This is a time of checking your inventory and doing those checks and balances. And this message definitely heralds that. Now, I entitled this message and this exhortation, Forgetting Those Things That Are Behind and Pressing Toward the Mark of the High Prize and the High Call, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's the thing that we should always be in remembrance of, put in remembrance of, and should strive for, is pressing toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, and the high prize. And one of the things that I love about sanctification and being adopted and engrafted and born again and having a relationship with Father God is that it's based on that which is heavenly. Although it's manifested in the earth realm, it's manifested here in the earth, it's manifested and revealed through us in our life, it's all about God's calling, what he's called you to do. And that's beautiful because it could be in any area of life. And the thing is, as long as God is getting the glory for that and you're thanking him for your gifts and talents and you're giving him the praise, that's all that matters. So I wanted to share Philippians, and I love Apostle Paul for his writings because he was one of the apostles that really wrote to the churches and establishing not only the order of God, but the instruction of the Lord. And I love Paul because a lot of his writings is based on his witness and his testimony, which is what we're supposed to have as believers. If we're true believers, we will have a testimony of what we've seen and heard of him and what he's doing and what he's said in our life, which is why I'm here today. So Philippians, and I'm reading from the Amplified, declares the goal of life. The goal of life, and what Paul was saying in this epistle, in writing to the Church of Philippians, was saying, finally, my fellow brethren, fellow believers, continue to rejoice and delight in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. So he was saying, first and foremost, he was greeting them as fellow believers, fellow laborers in Christ. He encouraged them to continue to rejoice and delight in the Lord. And that's the whole purpose of our communion and fellowship with God, is delighting in him. And this was one of the final things that he was saying in this writing, finally, my brother. That means the last thing you do is the first thing you do. And he says no trouble for him to continue to repeat what he said, because it's no trouble for him, but it is a safeguard for you and I. Now, in verse 2, he says, look out for dogs, the Judaizers, legalists. Look out for troublemakers. Look out for false circumcision. And in parentheses, those who claim circumcision is necessary for salvation. So he was just saying here, look out for those who would put you in bonds based on what they are holding to. And throughout the New Testament in his epistles, that's what the apostles were charged to do, to warn us about dogs and those who were legalists and troublemakers and those who said you had to do this or had to do that in order to have salvation. Now in verse 3 he says, for we who are born again have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for his purpose and for the true circumcision. And the true circumcision is of what? Of the heart. And he's saying those of us who are born again, who have been baptized by water baptism and baptized by the word of God, in the word of God, by way of Jesus Christ, have been born again above, spiritually transformed from above. It's not below. It's not by legalism. It's not by rules and regulations. And this is what he continues to say and says throughout the epistle when he says, these who worship in spirit, in the spirit of God and glory and take pride and exude in Christ Jesus and place no confidence in what we have or who we are in the flesh. So he was basically saying that who he is and who we are is not based on the flesh. And our confidence is in Christ Jesus. And fourth, he said, in the fourth verse, he says, though I myself might have some grounds for confidence in the flesh, if I were pursuing salvation by works, he said, if anyone else thinks he has reason to be confident in the flesh, that is, his own efforts to achieve salvation, he said, I have more circumcised when I was 8 years old, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, an exemplary Hebrew, he says, as to observance of the law, a Pharisee. So he was basically saying that he was one who had confidence in the flesh, who was the chief of an exemplary Hebrew and Pharisee in keeping the law. And he was saying that his circumcision was when he was 8 years old, and he gave exactly where it was. But he says, goes on to say in verse 6, and going down to paraphrasing this for the sake of time, that he counted all those things done for the excellency of Christ. And he's now forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark which is a high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying today in giving me this message. He was saying that if we are to fulfill his will, fulfill the promise of God, see the promise of God come to pass in our life, we must forget those things that we were taught, especially by man, because the achievements and the manifestation of the glory of God, the manifestation of your true essence of who you were created to be, is going to be by his power, by his grace. Hallelujah, by being born again. And Paul was saying in this epistle that he counted those things that he learned as a Jew, being a Pharisee, even one who persecuted the church. He said, I counted those things done for the, what, excellency of Christ. So him being converted and being a true believer was based on now his experience by confessing Christ and having experience with him on the road to Damascus, on the road to Damascus. And I'm going to quickly read verse 10, where it says that, and this so that I may know him, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, understanding the remarkable wonders of his person more completely, and in that same way experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is achieved and is active in believers, and that I may share the fellowship of his suffering by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even to his death, dying as he did, so that I may obtain the resurrection, that I will be raised, that it will raise me from the dead as well. So everything he was saying here was about in order for him to press toward the mark of the high calling, he had to forget those things that which are behind and only take those things that was needed. And so in this time, there's a lot of things that wants to press itself upon us, a lot of things that will make void the word of God, which is your traditions, the traditions of man, things that God is saying, okay, that's by the letter of the law, but that's not by the will of God. That's not by my zeal. That's not by my love. That's not by how I want to reveal myself to you by way of my presence and by way of resurrection. So I was really excited about this because he was saying that it's by the resurrection of his power, the resurrection of his presence, that those things come alive. Even those things that have died, and that's what Paul was saying here, that he may also experience the resurrection, will raise him up again, just as God raised Jesus. And that's the beautiful thing about understanding Christ, the work of the cross, the work of salvation, which is the death, burial, resurrection. I'm going to read exactly what he says here in verse 13. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. In verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And so that's the thing that I was blessing him for as I do my checks and balances within myself and within my spirit. And the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit and staying caught up with him and staying in prayer is that he will up with those things as he brings those things to our attention that will be a hindering block and a stumbling block to us. He will remove those things. And forgetting some things is not easy, especially if those things have hurt us and there's a wound there. And that's why healing is a great part of forgetting, which comes by forgiving. And forgetting those things that are behind will require a willing to release and let it go. It also means gaining knowledge. He said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, wanted to grow, wanted to expand. And we grow and expand in the knowledge of him, in the person of Jesus Christ, as Paul said. So press is upward, is onward, but it's upward. And it's for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, which is beyond these realms. Yes, our reward and the manifestation of God's promises for our life is going to be manifested here, but it's where we're going to go after we leave this life that we will be crowned. And the only way that we can really see the manifestation of God's will upon here on the earth is to not only be rooted and grounded in the Lord, but to also have faith and believe that he can bring those things to pass. So our motivation, our zeal should be based on the prize of Christ Jesus, the high calling, because there's always different levels. And that's another thing that he was saying to me. He says, time for I'm taking my people to new levels. The mountaintop, the higher places. And he said that comes by invitation, as we say yes to the Lord, as we accept what his will is for us. Now, the second part of this word was one of the things that I was thinking about when he gave me this. And he was saying to me that forgetting those things that are behind, those things that are no longer part of your life, those things that are no longer present, no longer part of God's will for your life, because you've grown, you've outgrown them, you've been exalted. God has taken you to new levels. Forgetting those things, if you stay caught up in the Holy Spirit, will come naturally. And when he said forget those things, it also means to just simply forsake. And with forgetting some things and forsaking some things, that also includes people. And that's what he was saying to me. He was saying forgetting those things that are behind also means putting some people behind you. So to forget some things, you also got to put some things in certain places or completely discard it completely and throw it away. And I'm not saying throw away people, but he says some people you need to put behind you or put them in their proper place. And when he said this to me, he gave me Peter. He reminded me of Peter when he had to continue to rebuke Peter because of him being under the influence of Satan. And one of the things that I was thinking about when I was you know, preparing for the message was how many people who profess Christ being Lord and Savior will presume to think they know how your salvation should reveal itself. And that's the thing that Peter did. Peter, when he was with Jesus, he, out of his zeal, out of his love for Christ, wanted Jesus to remain here in the earth realm. And Jesus had to rebuke him. And that's where I'm going to pick up reading from Mark, the 8th chapter, where he says, then Jesus and his disciples went out to the villages of Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? They answered him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others say one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter replied to him, in contrast to others, are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed. Then Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must of necessary suffer many things and be rejected as the Messiah by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and must be put to death, and after 3 days rise from death to life. He was stating the matter plainly, not holding anything back. Then Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him, but turned around with his back to Peter, and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for your mind is not on God's will or his values and his purpose, but on what pleases man. And so that's what he was saying to me and giving me this. In order for us to press toward the mark of the high calling, there's an order. Something has to be forgotten. Some things have to be put away. Some people have to be put away. And some people need to be rebuked. Of course, in love. But this is exactly what he was saying when Peter, because of what he thought Jesus should do, he had to rebuke him. And the thing that I was looking at in this text was that Jesus rebuked Satan. He didn't rebuke Peter. He rebuked the spirit that was coming from Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because that was the influence Peter was under. And so the thing that I love about the relationship that Peter had with Jesus, that although Peter was rebuked often, God rebuked Peter a few times, but God knew Peter's heart. He knew that he loved him despite his shortcomings, despite his mistakes. And so this is the same thing we have to do as we journey on and continue to go forth in the things of God in our lives. We have to make those assessments, and we have to correct people so that they won't cause us to err or put stumbling blocks in our way. And that's exactly what God does to us as his children. He will rebuke us. He will correct us. And in another scripture, this is Mark's gospel. I think in Luke or Matthew, he says, "Get to me behind me, for thou savest not the things of God, but things that be of man." And so we have to make sure that people that are in our lives are not trying to influence us based on their beliefs. And in these last days, people will purposely and deliberately try to force their beliefs on us, and we have to, you know, stand our ground and rebuke it in Jesus' name and know who we have believed. And so this is what Jesus did with regarding Peter. And the basis of this was also Jesus rebuking him because he was saying what pleases man. And he referred to Peter as a man at that time because he was looking at what Jesus was saying and from a earthly perspective, from his emotions. And so the thing that we must remember that in order to press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, and receive our just reward, we have to make sure that we're not serving two masters, which is what Jesus continued to teach in this text. When he called the crowd together with his disciples, he said, "If any man wishes to follow me as my disciples, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interest, and take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me." So and you have to really be careful in these last days because people are operating from their own self-interest. And will use the Lord and God and the law and the spiritual things to justify that. And he goes on to say in the text that conforming to my example in living, if need be, suffering and perhaps dying because of faith in me. For whosoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. But whosoever loses his life in this world for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For the consequences of sin and separation from God, for what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world and with all its pleasure and forfeit his soul? Which also says, what should it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So we have to make sure that and pressing toward the mark and looking to the future and making plans. If you are in the Lord's name, if you accept God's will, we must stay focused and know that we are pressing toward the mark of the high calling. And the thing that I love about promotion and elevation is that it comes from the Lord. Is that promotion comes not from the east, not from the west, but comes from me. So we don't have to, I don't have to be in a tug of war, or this is not about a competition or pleasing man. As again, as Paul said, he counted those things all dung. Paul was a great teacher. He was devout, one of the most devoted Jews and Hebrews there were. But he said he counted it all dung for the excellency of Christ. Now, one of the things that I wanted to include in closing, and the Lord giving me this and this third quarter, is not only checking balances, not only spring cleaning, not only looking at those who you have around you, those you must assess and see where they are, see what they need to be elevated, where they need to be challenged. If you're a leader of any kind, or just your personal life. This is a time where you have to really ask the Lord to show you what's in a person's heart. And even when a person manifests certain things within you, that's for you to be aware of, and that's a red flag. And so, again, we don't have to cast people out and cast them aside, but we have to make sure that we're protecting ourselves, protecting what God has given us, because I'm running my race. You're running your race, and we want to make sure we run it with patience. And one of the things that I find myself doing really a lot is pressing, get into the press, because there's so many things that is happening in this world, but based on the principalities and powers of this age and spiritual because in high places, you have to be able to press into the kingdom. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit said. He said, this is time for the press. Then these are those who press into it. And for that, I gave you Luke, the 10th chapter, the 17th through the 18th, 10th through the 17th verse. And he says this, he who is faithful in a very little things is also faithful in much. And he who is dishonest in a very little thing is also dishonest in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of earthly wealth, who will entrust you the true riches to you? So this is the summation of what he was saying, that in the press and pressing toward the mark, you don't want your running to be in vain. And that his order for the kingdom is faithfulness and being honest. And that he's not going to entrust us with the heavenly kingdom if we have not been faithful in that which he's given us here on earth. And many people forget that. And getting caught up with my ministry and the gifts and talents, and they forget that. That everything we do down here is just a dress rehearsal for heaven and what your role is going to be in heaven. So, you know, it's not worth being a people pleaser, a man pleaser, and losing your soul or wanting earthly things, or even using God's word as a way of trying to get into that, or using God's word to find a way to get into that, into wealth, because that's the thing that God will judge you for if you use his word to flounder his people, fleece his people. Now, verse 12, he says, and if you have been faithful in the use of that earthly wealth, which belongs to another, whether God or man, and of which you are entrusted, who will give you that which is your own? So the blessing of pressing toward the mark of the high calling and obtaining, not just pressing, but obtaining, possessing the crown and the call and the high prize, which is whatever it is the Lord wants it to be. And of course, it's going to be according to your heart's desire and according to his will and to his promise. And of course, it's going to be good. It's always good. He says that we should give you your own. So that's why I'm really committed and faithful to what the Lord has called me to do and being faithful in that, because I want to be entrusted with the things of heaven. I want my assignment in heaven to be real and be good. And I want the upper seat. I want my crowns, Lord. Hallelujah. Now he goes on to say in verse 13, in having your own, he shifted and says, no servant can serve two masters. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other one, or he will stand devoted by the one or despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. That is your earthly possessions or anything else you trust in and rely on instead of God. Instead of God. So it's important to know that in this balance, in this dual citizenship, we don't get it blurred. He said you can't serve both God and mammon. He said you can't serve two masters. Either you want to love the one or hate another one. So God is clear. And what servant, what master, I mean, what leader or would want faithfulness and devotion? 14, he says, now the Pharisees who were lovers of money were listening to all the things and were sneering and ridiculing him. So he just said to them, you are the ones who declare yourselves just and upright in the sight of men. But God knows your hearts, your thoughts, your desires, your secrets. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. And the King James Version says, that which is highly esteemed above men is an abomination to God. God hates it. It speaks of idolatry. And again, you will never be able to get your prize, be able to live in your essence if you are following someone else, if you're under the influence of someone else. You just can't, you just won't, because you're living an alternate life. And I tell you, this is a time of great witchcraft and bewitchment where you have to be careful and know who you are and whose you are and really follow the word of God and his instruction and have that relationship that you need with God so that you won't be deceived or taken in the snare. Now, I'm going to conclude with verse 16 and 17 where he says, the law and the writings of the prophets were proclaimed unto John. Since then, the gospel of the kingdom has been given and continues to be preached, and everyone tries forcefully to go into it. Yet it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for a single stroke of the letter of the law fall and become void. And again, Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Make that clear. To fulfill the law by grace, by mercy, by spirit, by the blood, by being born again, by having a new heart, a new mind, having our souls and our washed by the blood of Jesus. And the word of God also says that since the kingdom of God is of the violent take it by force. Take it by force. A lot of things that I've had to receive in life, I took by force. Because the prince and the power of air, the devil didn't want me to have it. Simple peace, simple having my needs met. I mean, the devil is evil. He will strip us and leave us with nothing if he could. So he says that these are those who press into it. And so this is a time of the press. And some seasons are going to be easier than others, and this is just one season that you're really going to have to press in. And that pressing in is going to take consecration. It's going to take you letting go of some things, setting aside some things, and being willing to allow the Lord to bring transformation, inward transformation, inward healing. So this is a great time of transformation. It's a great time of growing and going from faith to faith and glory to glory in the expression of the Lord. And I'm really excited about what the Lord is saying in this offering, veils and victories, because truly what has been is in incubation, what's being concealed will be brought to light. And we just have to know the timing of those things and know that those things are going to come forth in God's timing. And not just come forth in his timing, it's going to speak and it's going to bring us victory. It's going to birth what it's supposed to birth. So I pray that everything that you believe in God for is good and is of him. And remember, you must walk in your authority. Stand in your authority. And you have to decree and declare and speak to the devil and Satan in Jesus' name and say, get thee behind me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. No arguing. There's no argument. There's no debate. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, simply. Hallelujah. And know that God's will is perfect. is perfect and is complete. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to go now, and I'm wishing you peace, blessings, and much love. Thank you so much for joining. Your hostess is Marie here on Stars of Heaven Networks 22, and I'll be back for more of fails and victories. Until then, take care, peace, blessings, and much love.